What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods.
Hola! ¿Cómo está?
Bienvenidos! Sí, señor.
Yeah, I'm on my Sábado Gigante shit today. You heard?
Are you?
I don't know why. You all right, bro? You saw a ghost?
No, does that look like it's slanted?
It does.
It's all right.
But I think it might be your camera, though. Yeah, pull that. Yeah.
No. It's.
I think it's you, bro.
I'll leave it.
It's good. Yo, it's just the two of us today.
Just the two of us.
It's a good song. It's a very good song.
Yeah, man. It's a very special week.
This is when all the poop emojis should just show up on the screen right now. So you want to tell us a little story?
Yeah. So I got my colonoscopy.
Hold on, wait. I like you collecting your thoughts face.
Bro, listen, man.
Your resting poop face.
This is the thing. There needs to be more awareness around this stuff because it's difficult for a regular dude to want to do this, man. Like, not to say that it's not, look, it's probably difficult for anybody doing this because there was actually a lot of women when I went.
Okay. Yeah. Of course. But sorry, I might have interrupted when I was talking. So you were talking about a colonoscopy, just so it's clear. People know what we're talking about.
I call it a colonoscopy. A colonoscopy. Okay. Yes. So this is how my week went.
Yeah.
Well, previously, you know, at the age that I'm at, you're supposed to get it, and apparently they keep dropping it down. And yeah. Colon cancer is black and Latino men are at the higher risk of that, of getting colon cancer. And if someone in your family had colon cancer, which my grandfather passed of colon cancer, you're at a higher risk as well.
And they recommend that you go earlier than the average to go get checked, right? I think that's
not necessarily, but they keep lowering the age, I guess, because they're trying to. It's preventative to they're saying that colon cancer is, I think, the most preventive, I don't know if I'm using the right words, a cancer that can be prevented. You know what I'm saying? Like, so anyways, go to my doctor. They're like, yeah, you're overdue at this point because they've been dropping the age. I think the age now is 45. It used to be
50.
Was it 50?
I think it was 50. Yeah, I was looking at that recently. 45.
I think they might have dropped it even lower than 45 now.
I read something like if you're predisposed to cancer or something in your genes or whatever, it's even lower, but on average it's 45 now.
All right. Well, I'm 48. So they were like, yo, you're overdue. You got to go. I'm like, all right, cool. I'm not cool, but okay.
Right.
I go to the gastro. It took me a while. I wasn't in a rush to do it.
Yeah.
Let's just say
Hold on, real quick. Just to take us through that moment. So the doctor tells you, yo, you way overdue right now. You got to go figure this out. What was your immediate response? Was you like, yeah? Or you were kind of like, you sure, doc?
Nah, I try to be responsible about my health, especially if a doctor's telling me to do something. And if it's like a natural or, you know, regular like checkup thing that, you know, whatever. It's like if it's regular for people to do it at a certain age, like I'm right. Cool with that, you know?
Right.
And I knew because I had friends that are older friends too that they've done it and stuff. And so I had friends that had done it. So I knew I was due for it. So I finally set up the appointment. It just seemed like you have to go to a gastrologist, right? Is that a gastroenterologist?
Maybe I haven't been.
Whatever, bro. Yeah. Astronomer. Whatever.
You got to go check out Galileo right quick.
Yeah. So to book that appointment, you know, was a mission. And it probably wasn't a mission, but it was a mission for me. So, you know, the more mission, I'm like, I don't really need to do it. Yeah. Finally, you know, I go and then that's just the appointment from the to talk to you and set the appointment for the actual procedure. Then it turned out the date of the procedure was, I forgot what reason, but I couldn't do it. I had to reschedule. Oh, what it was is I was sick. I had had COVID and a cold. And they said, you know, since they put you under, you know, nah, they're like, nah, don't come through.
A risk, yeah.
So reschedule. And then this is what happened. This is the mix-up. So I reschedule. My original appointment was on a Thursday. They tell me the 3rd, and in my mind, for some reason, when I looked at the calendar, the 3rd was a Thursday. Mm. I'm dyslexic also, so I don't know if this is just me, you know, screwing up the numbers and the days and all that. So in my mind the whole time, it was like, all right, it's on Thursday. So I kind of take 3 days off, kind of like as a buffer between it. I'm thinking.
You got three mental days.
Well, you're supposed to fast and all this stuff. So I ended up having drink champs on Monday, which I was like, it's kind of weird drinking and doing all that a couple days before. But okay. Then I had Tuesday that in my mind was like, oh, okay, cool. That's, you know, I'll start fasting and cleaning out the system. Wednesday, you have to take a solution to clean out your system. It's a
flush.
Yeah. A laxative.
Oh, yeah.
A flush, laxative flush. So, and then I was like, all right, well, I definitely can't do nothing on that day. And then Thursday, boom, I'll knock it out. And so, turns out, when I'm looking at the days, like, so Tuesday happened, you know, we did drink champs, Tuesday happened. Then Wednesday, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, all right, I got Wednesday as a buffer. Like, I'm going to take this stuff tomorrow. I even almost ate on, like Tuesdays happen. I'm like, my wife is like, no, I think you could eat. You just got to eat light, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was almost about to eat something. And I look at the paperwork. Cause now I'm like, you know, it's in my head. I'm like, I'm looking at the paperwork. I want to make sure I'm doing everything right. And I see the 3rd. And then I start looking at I'm like, wait, I think that's tomorrow, dude. And my appointment was at 6 in the morning. So it's like more than tomorrow. It's like you know, right, like now. It's like tonight type. Yeah. That's the way I look at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, tomorrow. I was like, oh my God, this is tomorrow. So I called to make sure, and they're like, yeah, it's tomorrow. And it was early enough where they were like, because you could still take the solution and clean out your system. Luckily, I hadn't eaten anything. I'm not a day eater that much. Like, I don't really usually eat during the day, especially during the weekdays. So I hadn't eaten anything. It was strictly liquids. So, like, yeah, you should be good. I'm like, oh my God. Yo, dude, I felt like a deer in headlights when I found out it was like the next morning.
Yeah, you must have been stressed.
I was like, oh, because, you know, before I was like, ah, you know, chilling tomorrow. I'm going to just drink the thing. I'm going to take the day off, relax. Nah, bro. So then, yeah, take the stuff. The stuff was disgusting, man. And it's bearable. Like, I don't want to scare you. Because I think the important thing of talking about it, and actually Drink Champs got booked on the same, on Wednesday, the day I was doing the colonic. So. It was with TK Kirkland. And I heard Nori made a big thing of it in the intro. Like, yo, this guy's getting a colonic today.
Oh,
like,
shit.
So, you know, my boys were telling me, like, clowning. And I was like, look, honestly, you know, cool. Have a field day with it. But I think we need the awareness out there. And 100%. I don't think it should necessarily be a joke, because the truth is, Black and Latinos are the most at risk. And also the most... that are like, you know, like, look at it like this is like something like taboo to do.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of
hesitation to doing it because you feel like it deals with your manhood or whatever. And trust me, look, I get it, dude. Like, I even spoke to you and I told you, damn, you know, I feel like after this, I can never say, you know, I never got something back there. But yeah, so whatever, man. So I'm okay with us talking about it here. I'm okay with it being blown up on Drink Champs. I heard TK was like, yo, applaud that dude. You know, men need to do that. But then talked about a procedure that avoids getting anything in there.
Oh, really?
Which I'm like, nobody told me about that one.
Where were you a month ago?
Yeah. So whatever. So, I Go ahead. You have questions?
So, yeah, I have so many questions. I have not. So, colonic is also.
You have not partaked.
I have not partaken in that yet. So, colonoscopy. Oh,
colonoscopy, not a colonic.
You said colonic earlier, so I'm trying to understand.
Did I say colonic?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, colonoscopy.
Okay, so colonoscopy. So,
colonic is just a flush out of your.
Oh, God. Cord. So when you, as you're approaching this, you're not even there yet, right? So now you got like this truncated window of time. You thought you have more time, right? So now that's adding pressure to you. You're having conversation with your family, I imagine. Like, take us through that. Like, what did you talk to your kids about, if at all? And obviously, you know, you talked to your wife. Like, what were some of the concerns that you had going into it?
I didn't really have concerns, but I guess anything involving anesthesia.
Yeah, because they put you under the whole, like, what's that called?
Am I saying that right?
Not local. Yeah, anesthesia. It's not local. It's a
my
full.
My vocabulary and my mind right now are all mixed up, dude.
No, that colonoscopy did a number on you, kid.
Yeah, they put you under. They put you under, but it's not. Like, originally, I thought it was the full under where they have to, like, assist your breathing, but apparently it's just, like, a deep sleep where you breathe on your own type
of anesthesia. Count backwards and shit?
No.
Oh.
But that was the dopest part. And everybody says that's the dopest part, like being put to sleep, because it's like, yo, it's ill, man. Like, that part of it is just, you're out of here.
Mad restful. Like, it was like.
Yeah, like, I had dreams, and then, like, boom, it's done, you know? So.
Yeah.
But I tell, you know, my wife was worried because everybody gets a little concerned with that, you know.
Yeah.
That's where things happen. And my mom is like, oh, tell them, you know, this and make sure you tell them that. And if you have any congestion, if you have this or if you have that, you know, so whatever. I tell them everything. And so, yeah, there was a little concern. I tell the kids jokingly, daddy's going to get a butt operation, which me and my wife were clowning because we're like, imagine if the kids go to their friends or their teacher. My dad's getting a butt operation in today's day and age. What that means to people.
Man. Oh, man.
Dad's about to get a BBL.
A butt implant.
But, you know, I'm trying to make jokes, you know, light of it with the kids. And they're laughing. You know, I'm a big poop fart,
you know,
funny guy when it comes to the kids. Like, I love talking and joking about all that stuff. And so they were having a blast. They're like, oh, my God. And I'm like, Dad's going to have a butt operation. Oh, my God. And they're like, So, I tell them, oh, tomorrow's the day. And they're like, Dad, oh, my God, you're going to get a butt operation. Ah! And
that was clowning you. But your daughter took it to the next level.
Well,
right?
This is after the fact. So.
Oh.
So that's the thing. So then I get up, you know, I got to be there at 6 a.m. So I Uber there on my own because my wife has to take the kids to school, both of them at this point. And so there's no way she could take me. So I Uber there. Bro, I get like 2-3 hours of sleep because I'm also had that stuff flushing out of my system. You have to take it in the evening and you have to take it at midnight again because you need to be fully clean for the thing.
And then you got to be there at 6 a.m.
My point was at 6 a.m. But, you know, you get there and it's like paperwork and you know, waiting around. The doctor didn't show for a while. And the crazy, well, I don't know how deep I want to get into this part, but and. The location was dicey, man. It was like some Miami Cuban, super Cuban spot. And I was I'm like, yeah, this is the type of spot that shows up on the news, like, you know, some craziness. But shout out to them. Everybody was super professional. But just my first impression of the place was a little wacky. You know, everybody's speaking Spanish. No, you know, no diss to that, but it just felt a little, you know, felt a little crazy. So it was
Did you get like called out? Like, oh, that's EFN. Did you get a fan?
Nah, I do feel this one lady might have recognized me or just like kind of thought she might have recognized me. But it was she looked like she was like feeling like me. Like, it's early, too early for her. You don't want to deal with this. She looked disheveled, you know, like I was disheveled. And it was all women, though. It was the crazy part. It was no dudes were in there when I was there.
Yep.
It was like 5 or 6 women in there. I guess we're the first round of appointments. Everybody's just getting into the office and stuff, so just getting started. And then whatever. You go through the process, you prep, you put on the stupid gown. Kept my shoes on.
Because you a G.
I don't know why that meant a lot to me. I'm like, yo, I don't want to take off my shoes.
Because like, no, you a real G. You was like, yo, I'm in this spot, but I'm not gonna be a pata sucia.
In case I gotta do some kung fu and run out that spot, I got my shoes on, you know. And then my doctor came, which she's funny. She got jokes. And they prepped me, they put the IV. And all I could think about was like, oh man, what if something does go wrong? Because when you're being put under, it's kind of crazy, man.
Yeah, it is.
And so I'm just laying there in the bed waiting for the doctor to show because she was late. And one of the dudes that was like in the room was being funny. He's like, don't worry, if she don't cry, I'll do it for you. Making him sound Russian. He actually spoke in Spanish to me and said that. He basically was like, yeah, don't worry. If you don't show up, we'll do it for you. I got you. And I was like, nah, bro.
I'll take care of you, bro.
I'd rather do it myself, though. And whatever.
So what is it? Did you get to see what they actually put in you?
Yeah, it's like a, it's almost, think of it. I think the best way to describe it is your phone charger wire.
Okay.
It's something like that thick. And it has a microscopic camera at the end. Now, the part that I didn't see or don't know how they do it is because they actually, what's cool about today, them doing the colonoscopies is they, as they find something, they can actually cut it out, like extract it.
Oh, and do the biopsy.
The polyps. Oh,
yeah.
They'll deal with it right then and there. So I don't know what in that wire, what they have. But, and then they take the pictures. They had a big TV screen. I didn't get to see, but I'm sure that's what they're looking at.
Yeah.
But they, right as soon as you're done, they give you papers with the pictures of.
Oh, wow. Right on the spot. You see everything. Yeah.
Of your colon. So pretty wild. But, whatever, bro. They put me under. They were like, all right, you're going to feel something, you know, a little tingle. But that tingle came. And then it was like, wake up. You're done.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's nuts, bro. It's nuts. And then my wife was still dealing with the kids and stuff, and so I was like, man, I'm just gonna Uber home.
Yeah.
And so
you didn't feel, and I'm trying to be serious, because like, again, to your point, like, I think this is so important for people like us, but I think in general, like you said, like men, women, it really doesn't matter. Like, this is an important thing, and I don't want to make light of it, but there's so many little things that you can pick out of this, if you, you know, have a joke, right? But correct. It takes away from the seriousness. And when you went back home in the Uber, did you feel like anything hurt? Did you feel anything like uncomfortable? Everything was kind of back to normal.
Yeah, everything.
I mean, you were probably a little drowsy still, though.
I was drowsy. But real quick, one thing that's important to mention is that they found some polyps.
Oh, shit.
And they pulled them out. You know, they took them out and they were like, they sent it to get checked for to see if they're cancerous.
So do they clear out all of the polyps in that moment, or they just pick a few to like test?
No, they take whatever they see.
Oh, okay.
And they take it out. But overall, the doctor was like, nah, everything was looking good.
Okay.
You know, everything was looking clean but we'll check to see if these are, you know, maybe they're precancerous, I think they were saying.
Right. Yeah. So I read that, and just because you have polyps doesn't mean you gotta freak out. Like,
no.
That's fairly common from what I understand. It's just you out of a precaution, they were you go small test it.
Too, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, but that's good. That's what you want. You want them to actually, whatever they find, pull it out and take it out and hopefully you don't have any problems. But,
and like you said earlier, if you, God forbid, do, it's the best, you know, case scenario. You know, if you have to have cancer, like, that's the one that you probably want to pick because there's better ways to treat it and, you know, kind of get rid of it.
And you're catching it early.
Right.
Which right. I'm imagining, like, someone like my grandfather. Probably never went.
Yeah.
So they probably too late to get a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
Or imagine what the science, you know, how they did it back then, you know? Like,
wow.
Maybe they didn't even do colonoscopies back then. I don't know.
Nah, I bet you they did it.
I mean, I'm sure they did, but
it was probably rare.
It's that camera might not have been a thing. Nah. So how the hell would they have seen? Yeah, they probably didn't.
It was probably like a prostate exam, because that's still relatively old school, I think, with the fingers.
Your favorites, I know. Your favorite.
Actually, I did have one. We could talk about that later, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get home.
Gone you. So the kids, you know, I told them the day before, you're not going to see daddy in the morning for school. And they get back and they're like, daddy, you know, how did it go? And then I showed them the pictures. And they're like, wow. Oh. And that's why, and what I showed you, so my daughter did a drawing. It was hilarious. She draws like a butt, and in the middle she draws like a hole, and she's drawing like kind of like what she saw in the pictures in terms of the hole.
Yep.
And then she asked me to spell out butt operation.
Oh, okay.
So she writes butt out, and then she puts Eric's. I'm like, why don't you put dad at least, you know? And then she put like this. Well, I think you thought, or somebody said someone's sweating.
Oh, I might have been K.
Maybe somebody else I sent it to. She put like a face that looks like it's crying or sweating.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah.
She said it's someone laughing.
Yo, we have
with
to show.
Arrows pointing at the-
We have to show this. We have to show this drawing.
Oh man, she's
yo
hilarious. I was proud of her drawing.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a dope. Like considering, because she's what, four,
five? She's five.
And for her to be able to illustrate this, I mean, the pictures that she was looking at probably gave her a lot to work with. But still, like,
well, not the ass. She's just all like holes. The picture she does look like a BBL.
Yeah, it does. Oh, so y'all had a good laugh after that. And you haven't felt any residual effects after, like after the anesthesia wore off and all that? Nothing.
Nah.
Like Lo Mojone is just like,
ooh. No, you know what's funny? This is probably TMI, but as soon as like they wake me up, I'm like, oh, and they're like, yeah, it's done. I go, I feel like taking a shit. I don't know if I said shit, but I was like, I feel like I gotta go back. And they're like, no, don't worry. We had to put air in there, so it's probably just it's gas. So it just they're like, don't worry. They were like, just let it go. I'm like, nah, dude, I'm not letting this go here. Because it felt like a shit.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, that yeah, dude. It's I don't know, man. It's funny because there's some people that this is like whatever. They don't care. Like, go handle. I have friends who never even met. I don't know if they were being like shy about it or, you know, like hiding it. But I had friends that turned out they did it like 5 years ago and never said a word to anybody.
Do you blame them, bro? Imagine telling you. You would be clowning them for hours.
Yeah, like who's
back then?
I think my boy Socrates, you know Socrates. I think he's done it like two times already. And I'm like, damn, you a repetitive offender, bro.
You a vet.
You good if you get locked up.
Oh, what an ass.
Literally.
I just had a brain fart from hell right now. I had a prostate exam, but it was, I mean, I was in my 20s. It's like 20 something. And it was out of precaution because I went to a doctor and I was like, yo, I'm peeing blood, bro. I don't understand. And whatever. I had a UTI, and this was one of the precautions before he, you know, gave me the UTI.
He gave you the UTI?
The diagnosis of a UTI. He had to check because he was like, yo, maybe, I mean, it's weird to be this young and have a prostate issue, but he was like, I got to check. And I didn't know what that meant. I didn't understand what he was checking, like how he was checking. So my man, yo, the stereo, I felt like I was in like a Bart Simpson episode or something. It's like the glove, the latex glove, snap. And I'm like, nah, is that what I think I just heard? And then he gives me the instructions, like, put your pants down, you're going to feel this, like, you got to lean over here. And I'm like, no, bro. I was like, are you sure we got to do this? And sure, he was the consummate gentleman, bro. He just went up in there, did his thing quick, and came back out. And I was like, oh my God, bro. Like the sense of like violation. Nothing hurt or anything, but it was just like,
you were just upset that you liked it.
No, I was just like shocked. I was in complete shock. And then, so I was embarrassed. One first, right. And then I was in shock, and then
the real doctor walked into the office. Goes, what's going on here?
Imagine, bro. And you know, long story short, diagnosis was correct. He gave me some whatever pills, and it was done. But then that prompted me to do some research first to find out, like, yo, is this normal procedure?
Right.
Like, is this something that should have happened? And yeah, it was. But then my awareness kind of got better at that age. Like, I was like, shit, at some point I got to do this shit regularly. And, you know, I didn't really talk to it. I think it was probably the first time I've ever really talked about it with other dudes.
But you're talking about it with our audience.
With everybody. You're welcome, gang. Now, don't use it against me. But to the same point, like, this is really not much to be embarrassed about. Like, this is, you got to think about it like, it could be life or death. Like, that's how serious this stuff is. And the more we clown about it, the more we make it harder for people to, like, make this an easier process, the more lives are going to be at risk. And it's just not, it's not the move, especially when the audience we're talking about, because you're a dad, if you're listening to this probably, or maybe right. even a mom, like, you got other people you got to consider in this equation. So do the right thing for yourself that ultimately benefit your family.
You know, what's funny is that, and I won't mention who it was, but I was talking to a friend of mine today, I believe. And he's Rasta. He's a Rastafarian.
Yeah.
So I don't know why I kept thinking about Rastafarians. I'm like, they would probably never do this because they're so hardcore in their beliefs.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, I said, listen, you know, I know you're Rasta, and are you going to do it when the time comes for you to do it? And he was like, I think that's the downfall of a lot of Rastafarians, is that they really don't believe in modern science and medicine to a point where, you know, it hurts them.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, yeah. And he's like, even his father, because he's Jamaican, hasn't done it. And he's like, I'm going to try to push him towards doing it because of just like, you know, I don't know if his father's Rastafarian or not, but he's like just saying that Jamaican culture and Rasta stuff, you know, like, and they just, so, you know, it's funny because culturally, whether, you know, you're hardcore like a Rastafarian or just in general, the macho culture that we all come from, it's just weird. It's just a weird thing to think about. Like, it really was like, I was just like, I was ready to run out of that place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, my wife was encouraging me to leave before I did it, because I was describing the place to her, and I was like, hey, this place is a little dicey. Yep. And she's like, well, just leave. She's like, just go. I don't feel comfortable with you doing that there. But the way
she was like, grab your manhood and get the hell out of there.
And, you know, it's easy to make an excuse to say, you know what? I don't need to do this, man. Like, you know, what the hell, bro? Like, I'm out of here. I'll think about it in the near future. And just avoid it. But I was like, I'm already here. I already drank the damn crap. You know, I already missed one appointment to do this. Like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it.
Make it happen.
I'm already here. Like, I'm just one of those people. Like, once, let's just go through the motions.
Well, so, congratulations, bro.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like, it's easy for you to just bail. And yo, bro, like, these are the things, bro. Like, checking, you know, getting your checkups annually, and like those basics, like even going to the dentist twice a year, like those things are important.
Very
because
important.
Those things snowball so fast, and you don't, and the complications also snowball. It might be like, if you miss a couple dental appointments, it might be a tooth one day, and then the next month or year or whatever, it's like something involving your brain or some, because like all of that stuff is connected. So you got to take those precautions.
And bringing it back to why we do this podcast is that, if you're a father, you know, you have to be healthy to take care of your family.
Put your oxygen mask on first.
Like, you got to, man. And that's really all I was thinking about was the kids and the family, and just, you know, making sure that I'm as healthy as I can be. Obviously, there's a lot more improvement I could do in my life. But I try to do the things that, you know, I'm supposed to do, at least in terms of the checkups and the dentist, like you mentioned, and the blood work, and, you know, understanding, you know, where I am kind of like failing or not doing well. Like, you know, I'm drinking on Drink Champs. I'm doing this and this. Okay, well, let's check this liver. Let's make sure, you know, we're good in that department. So, yeah, fathers, you know, make sure you don't let your health slide. You don't, you know, don't skim off of these medical appointments and things like that you got to do. Don't keep holding off, because it could be a point where you could have avoided something and prevented something and addressed it early on. And then later on, it's costing you money, and therefore money, economic, you know, strain on your family. And nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Can we segue really quick to something?
Yeah.
So my daughter. My daughter, man, she's been interesting these past few months.
Mm.
She's been acting up a little bit, right?
So she calmed down for a while, because I mean that was the consistent theme for a long time.
But she was doing the regular, like, you know, terrible twos, a three-nager, you know, that type of, you know, acting out. But now it's more of the savvy, intelligent, conniving, you know, stuff.
Okay.
You're
being slick.
Yeah, dude. And so one thing that I'm noticing, and I wanted to bring it up. I wish Kay was here, because I want to know if your kids ever, any of your kids ever displayed this. Because so let's say, for example, we're recording, and for a couple weeks, I might tell you guys, man, my daughter's been great. She's been amazing, man. She's really, you know, tapered off, and you know, she's really, you know, a good kid now. She's not acting the way she used to act. And by all means, I don't want to say my kid is bad. She's not bad. Right.
Yeah,
because people will be like, I'll say this and people will meet my guy, oh, your kids are amazing.
Right.
But in our world, for what we notice,
they're misbehaving.
Yeah. So one trend I've started to notice is she is good before a holiday. As soon as a holiday is mentioned that it's coming up, there's something about her just getting in line and being extra sweet and extra thoughtful and behaving a lot better. And then the day after, or the day of after, whatever she, like, if she gets something out of that holiday gifts or whatever, it's like all bets are off. And I started to, like, at first I was like, nah, this can't be what she's doing. But it's been a solid trend. And I'm like, yo, she's ill.
Yep.
This is so well thought out. Like, she's like, it's almost like she's holding back bad behavior. And she's like, no, I can't do it. Can't do it. And as soon as the holiday, you know, she gets, like, for example, Easter just happened. Mm-hmm. She gets the Easter baskets or whatever else. Then it's all hell breaks loose after that. And you're like, yo, where is this coming from? Like, what the? You just got everything you wanted in the world. Like, what is it? What are you mad about right now? Yo, and it's like, and then the days after, it's like
chaos,
like three-nager all over again. Like, what's going on here? So have you had that in your household?
So the pattern for you seems very calculated, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Conscious or subconscious? I don't know.
Okay. But there's some awareness about something, and it feels like she just falls in line for that period of time. And then as soon as she gets what she wants or is expecting, boom. So in pockets, but not that well calculated. Like, my kids are, my youngest, she's 8. She is probably the most conniving of the three of my kids. But she's the biggest hothead. Her temper, she can't control it. So, and she'll say the wildest shit to anybody when she's going through her emotional tantrum. So she, to a point, will map it out and try to align, but she can't hold a line to whatever that pot of gold is at the end of the rainbow, usually, because something will happen that'll trigger her emotional response, and then that will blow everything up. So no, I haven't had that experience. That's like some superpower.
I'll give you an example of how much she controls her anger and her outbursts. So, you know, I've said it here, her and her brother, they don't really get along all that well, you know, they haven't, you know, historically. I mean, they do, but whatever, they have a lot of issues. So what she was doing, like, leading up to, let's say, Easter, she'll get mad and she'll be like, and I've told her, I said, you gotta talk to yourself. If you gotta walk away from the situation, but you can't have these outbursts. You can't hit your brother. You can't scream at him in his face. Like, you can't do that, you know? So she'll go, and then just, like, she knows she's about to do something crazy. So to control herself, she hugs him. She, like, hugs him.
Till it passes.
Yeah, and then she lets go. And as soon as Easter passed, she's, like, in his face again, like, Mom, Dad, don't
it's mine.
You know, and I'm like, yo, what happened? What happened to the hug, you know, technique? And I knew already it was a technique for her to, you know, make look good in front of us, like, you know, because my wife's like, oh, look how she's trying. You know,
I saw it
because I can see her. I was like, nah, she's doing that on purpose. Like, she inside, she's not letting go inside. She's just like, I can't do it right now. Can't do it right now.
If I could, I would slam your ass. Yeah. Right now. Oh man, it's interesting because our kids do, and I'm speaking generally about kids, like, they'll do stuff that on the surface appears to be like bad, right? Or not great. So as an example, like my son and my youngest daughter, they're debaters. And that shit gets annoying to the point where you're just like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, I said this. This is what it is. Like, don't try to debate it. But when you dig a little deeper, you're like, yo, wait a minute. No, these are like helpful skills. If you help kind of like set better boundaries around how to leverage them. Yeah, because like you don't want your kid to just take whatever somebody has to say if they feel strongly about it in a different way that makes sense, right? So and it's been a long road and we still don't do a great job, but I've learned to like engage where it makes sense and not treat it like back when I was growing up, if I opened my mouth to debate anything, chancletazo to the face. Right, real fast, and maybe in some cases it was warranted, but in others it was just like, yo, I don't see it that way. I'm trying to explain my version of it, but it gets heated because yo, you can't talk back to your parents in any way, even if it's just trying to have a conversation. So we try to encourage that, but in the same vein, like with this, like she's exercising a muscle that is it could be very helpful. And now some people might argue like, yo, burying shit is not good. And I think we've seen that prove out. But knowing when to restrain yourself from taking a particular action, I think that's really healthy if you know how to deal with whatever later on.
All right.
So it could be a positive here somewhere in there, but in the way she's using the tool,
yeah, I don't know.
I think it's amazing.
Like, there's pros and cons to her personality. And I'm like, you know, I feel like she might be, you know, she might be okay in just dealing with rough people.
Right.
But then again, she does have her sensitive side too. That's like, she can't take anything. So I don't know, but she just could be so hardcore, man. Today I screamed on her, bro.
Yeah.
And I don't like screaming at the kids like that. And like a real scream. Not, my wife says, you scream all the time. I go, no, there's Cuban talking. you classify as screaming. And then there's me being mad and screaming.
This is another level.
Right. So today, you know, in the morning, because of the time change, when we wake up for school, it's still dark. But we don't want to specifically, I don't like putting on lights. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them to adjust to the sun as it's coming up.
Yeah.
You're already going to have the TV on, so that's going to, you know, be a light. So we don't need to put on a bunch of lights. And my daughter she turned on like the main lights in the room, in the living room, and I'm like, we're like, turn it off. And we turn it off. And then she goes back to it to turn it on. And my wife is like telling her, no, don't turn it on. And she's just there on it. And I look at her and I go, leave the light. Come over here. Sit down on the couch. Don't turn on the light. And she's just looking at me with her hand on the switch. And I go, come over here. Leave the light alone. Do not turn that light on. And she's looking dead at my eyes and bloop. Turns on and then we have a leveler that you could skew it higher or lower the brightness and dimming. She puts the brightness, yeah, the dimming, she puts it up. Yo, I screamed on her because the level of disrespect of her looking at me in my eyes while I'm telling her not to, and she's like, bloop. Oh, I went off, dude.
Yo, there's a lot of cases where I feel like without saying it, my kids will be like, fuck you, dad. Oh, with their actions. That's one of those in my book.
100%.
Bro, you don't know how many times we go through stuff like that with my youngest daughter. All the time. She tests us in so many ways. And it gets to a point. And she'll take me seriously more quickly than she will her mom. but she pushes. And now I get to a point where now it becomes a game. So when I want the game to stop, I'm like, all right, no, go ahead. Do your thing. iPad, a month in jail. And she's like, whoa, I was just kidding. Don't go that crazy. And then that stops because that thing for her is like life or death. And so because I used to scream a bunch and I hate doing that. So I got to the point where I was just like, yo, I can't play this game because she's going to hate me forever. Like, right. I wouldn't want a fucking ogre screaming at me all the time. So I've tried to level that out, but man, does she test us.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a girl thing.
I try to figure it out. And then, I start to think about like the dynamic with her and her brother. And the thing is that, and I've explained this here, she's one of those people that she wants affection, but she won't seek it out. And when you give it to her, she acts like she doesn't want it, but she obviously wants it.
Yeah.
And my son, he seeks it out and he wants it. And he's the youngest one. So it's like, he's like still my baby. So it's like, we're always like, we're stuck to each other. And I could tell that bothers her, because every once in a while she'll mention stuff like, oh, you played with him, I want you to play with me.
Mm-hmm.
You're always, she'll say, like, you're always with him. But it's not that I do it on purpose. I try, but she doesn't want it. So it's like, I don't know the fix there. I really don't know the fix.
So my oldest showed a lot of that growing up. Like, she would reject my passes of affection or whatever. And my wife told me something that I still do to this day, and I realize it works. And she said, like, I'll like drive by, hug her, or like give her kisses on the cheek. She's 17. I don't care. And even though she'll fight me a little bit, she doesn't like push me away. Like, she'll accept it, but she's like, resisting. And I notice when I do those things, like, it benefits our relationship. So even though they may be rejecting it,
right?
I think it's still important to do it.
I do that.
Yeah,
I do that now. No, I do. I go out of my way to let her know randomly.
Yeah.
Dad loves you. I'm going to get a kiss from you. I'm going to kiss you on your forehead. When I'm with my son on the couch, for example, like, he'll be like all on top of me. He wants to hug. He wants to be affectionate. What I do is I always try to like reach out to her and like, hold her shoulder, hold her leg, for her to know I'm here. And then I'll call her over. Oftentimes, like, if I'm on the opposite side where I can't reach her, I'll be like, come be with us. Let's be together. And sometimes she'll come. The funny part is that, so we have a dog. I've talked about Nugget before.
Little Nug.
And she wants to control this dog. She wants Nugget to just, like, be her stuffed animal.
Her pet, yeah.
And Nugget's not with it, right? But Nugget, like, I raised Nugget. So Nugget's my dog, basically, where Nugget's always wants to be with me and will always be stationary with me. But Nugget doesn't really do that with the kids. She'll do it maybe with my wife, but she won't do it with the kids. I think dogs sense kids are just like you, unpredictable.
Yeah, yeah.
So they kind of stay away. But for some reason, he's been a little, Nugget's been a little bit more open to my son because I don't know why. But anyways, point is that when she sees Nugget, like, get on top of me or get around me and like, get comfortable, all of a sudden, my daughter's, like, running to me, like, oh, daddy. And I'm like, man, she just wants to, because she got Nugget there. She knows Nugget's not going to move. So now she wants to be with me because Nugget's right there stuck. And then Nugget leaves, and then my daughter leaves all of a sudden.
She's hardcore, dude. She's mad calculated. I'm telling you, like, I just think about it in the business world sense. Like, somebody that's like that, like, she could be a dope salesperson. Like, there's so many things she could be really good at because she knows how to read situations and try to leverage opportunity for herself. Which could be good or bad down the road. Trait.
There's good traits in that. Useful traits.
Yeah.
In the real world, I just don't want it to turn into, a nasty personality for her. And we've noticed, like, very minor things, but then, like, my wife caught her kind of bullying a kid in gymnastics, as a smaller kid.
Hmm.
And it was an accident that my wife saw her. My wife was going to the bathroom and went into the gymnastics room and just was witnessing it. My daughter didn't see her. She was, like, pushing this little girl. The little girl's, like, stopping, and my daughter kept doing it. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. And then when she gets caught, what does she do? She cries and runs and doesn't want to do anything anymore. Yeah. Doesn't want to go into the class.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm worried. I don't want her to be that kid. That bully. That, and then my wife today tells me, because I'm like, who is this kid? And what does she think? You know, she thinks she has all the privileges in the world, that she's just deserving of everything. And my wife was like, well, you're the one that's been calling her princess since she was born. And I was like, oh, God.
So it's your fault.
And it's funny because when you ask my daughter, what do you want to be when you grow up? She's like, a veterinarian, something else, and a princess.
And a princess. Well, on that note, I got to go get my princess. That's dope, though. I mean, this is all like part of shit, part of life. Like at the end of the day, like I still really believe this. The foundation that you set at home ultimately will triumph if, you know, other, you know, more major factors
be consistent.
Get in the way. That's it.
I believe that. It just got to be consistent with the messaging.
Yeah. And bullying, you know, sometimes also gets put under a microscope. Like, I mean, granted, like you don't want your kid pushing other kids around. Like that's not cool. But, you know, it's probably like once in a blue that something like that happens, or maybe very, very infrequent. Like sometimes that happens with kids. When you catch it and you acknowledge it and you kind of talk through it, like sometimes that makes a difference. So, you know, just got to roll
with the
punches.
That she's being bullied in school, and then now it's the transgression that she's giving it out to somebody else who's smaller than her in gymnastics.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Well, yo, thanks for sharing, bro. Like, I think that was very enlightening.
Overshared today.
Yeah, I think we just went overboard a little bit, but that's cool.
Everybody found out you got finger popped.
And then you got a camera in your ass. That's great. And it was, and the camera was snatching shit from inside you. That's awesome.
All right.
Well, stay tuned for next week and see what else we conjure up here.
I know.
Peace.
Pizza.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be your father to your child.